Part 4, and like I was saying, that one of the most important things that you owe yourself as a Christian is to get out of carnal mindedness. If you do not get out of carnal mindedness, you will pay great price for it. You will lose a lot. You will live a life, though you are saved, but your life will be a life of somebody who is what? Not saved. You are going to experience the same things. You are going to have the same results. There won't be much different at all. At all. Because you'll be employing the same things that they are employing. And the way you resolve issues is devoid of divine participation. So the Bible tells us in Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death. Romans 8:6, to be carnally minded is what? Is dead, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is, I'm not reading Amplified, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Which means it's not amenable to divine will. It's not amenable to divine plans. It doesn't even understand it. I'm telling you, it doesn't even understand it. And then so he says that because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God at all. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Can you see a repetition of the fact that he doesn't have the ability to know the things of God? It said in Romans chapter 8, in verse 7, that he cannot know them. And 1 Corinthians 2:14 is saying he cannot know them. When you have that kind of mindset, I think it's a very bad mindset. It's a very bad situation to be in when you can't understand what God is saying. And you find such people, they argue a lot because they think they know what they're saying. Because they can't understand. They can't really see what they're talking about. In 1 Corinthians 15:34, Paul called it a mindless state of mind. He said it's somebody who is like in a drunken stupor. That you should wake up from that kind of situation and be sober. And you know that the prodigal son, the Bible said that when he came to his senses, which means all that he was doing all this while, he was out of his mind. He was out of his senses. You can't have that kind of mindset and operate as somebody that is with his senses, because God has given us sound mind. God has given us what? Sound mind. God wants us to be sound in mind. Wants us to be sound in mind. And a carnal-minded person, as far as God is concerned, that's not sound mind. That's why the Holy Spirit, let's not forget that the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. That's why the Holy Spirit says that such a person is in a drunken stupor. He's living in a make-believe world. And then he said, because they don't have the knowledge of God in them. And you know, our Lord Jesus told us that it is a very, very dangerous weapon that the devil uses. It's something the devil is craving for. The devil loves it the same way bees love sugar. So he says in Luke chapter 15, verse 17. Luke chapter 15, verse 17. He says there, when he finally came his senses, he said to himself, at home. No, that's not what I'm reading. Matthew 16:23, please. Matthew 16, verse 23. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away. That's New Living Translation I'm reading. Jesus turned to Peter and said, what did Jesus tell him? Get away from me, who? Satan, you are a dangerous trap for me. Why? What's the danger? What's the trap? You are seeing things merely from what? Point of view. Not from God's. Which means you are carnally minded. He said to Peter, it's a dangerous trap that the devil is using you to set for me. So that I fall into that dangerous. When the Lord calls something dangerous, that thing is really dangerous. I don't know how many times we fall into this trap. Because it destroys life. It destroys career. destroys relationships, destroys health. Destroy, because that's exactly what the devil aims to do, is to kill, destroy, and steal. So Jesus called it a dangerous weapon in the hand of the enemy. That is carnal-mindedness. But you know, the church doesn't think that is a serious situation. We don't even emphasize on it, neither do we teach about it in the whole Christendom, really. You could go for years without hearing teaching on big carnal, like before carnal-mindedness, and have to really switch it over. But this is the bane of destruction. This is it. If you want me to spell carnal-mindedness in another word, it is called self-destruction. That's what it is. It will limit your prayer so severely. It will make you do religious things. It will turn you around, going from fellowship to fellowship, thinking. You'll be thinking you are super spiritual when you are totally carnal. It can make you zealous, so zealous. I keep saying it. Zeal is not spirituality. The Pharisees were so zealous that one of them, the last name was what? Zealotus, which means Simon the Zeal. And your last name is not Zealotus. And Paul said that bear them witness that they are what? Zealous. And Jesus said, yes. He said, you will traverse land. You will travel far to make somebody your disciple. And after he becomes your disciple, you make him a child of the devil. Zeal is not spirituality, neither is position spirituality. Neither is spiritual gift spirituality. The Corinthian church was full of spiritual gifts, but they were very carnal. Before I came out, I listened to Billy Graham talking about a bishop, a head of a whole organization, came to the crusade and said, I don't know if I know Jesus at all. And gave his life to Christ and began to cry right there. But he has risen up, pastored people, become head of organization, all the years without knowing Jesus. And people were following him to destruction. And I want to tell you, and without fear of contradiction, even in the Pentecostal circle, there are a lot of leaders who do not know Christ. I'm not kidding you. There are many who they don't know Jesus. Go to many churches, there's a lot of quarreling, bickering, gossiping, a lot of stuff that will tell you that majority are carnal. Totally carnal. I hear some things that people teach and some things people do in their so-called groups and fellowships. I'm going, are you serious? Are these people really born again at all? Do they read this Bible? They do ritualism, incantations, things, spiritualism. And they call it Christianity. And they're being led by, Jesus said, when you follow a blind man, all of you will enter where? The ditch. And people think it's Holy Spirit. It is such a painful thing that we have not even learned to discern the hand of God. Sometimes we take what the devil is doing and say it's the Holy Spirit. And take what the Holy Spirit is doing and say it's the devil. Confuse everything. And it's all because of carnal-mindedness. It's important that we understand. I am begging you. I'm not kidding. I am begging you. Do yourself a world of favor. All this religious junk will help you. You're wasting your life, wasting your time, and at the end of the day, you draw blank. I came into the house, my wife said to me, what you said is right. He said, I just had one of these big preachers say that I had a lot of people healed by the gifts of the Spirit, but 90% of them lost the healing because they didn't know the word of God. She was telling me. Who was that? Okay, yeah, you're in love with me. So when I ask you a question, I don't remember immediately. I know that. It takes her time to recover from my effect, magnetic effect that I have on her. Take your time, calm down. When you recover, we know. He said that, he said 90% of them lose their healing because they don't know the truth. They don't know the word. They can't stand. They can't fight. They have no defense. They have no, don't you, what, they have no shield of faith because the enemy will come back and try them again. He's not going nowhere. The devil is so persistent. And you think he's foolish? I've said it here. Let me say it again. The Lord spoke to me once. He said, an ignorant Christian is like Samson without eyes. He said the devil will put him on a treadmill and wear him out. Wear him out in Christianity. He will be tired, worn out, depressed. Throw him out of Christianity fast. He said he'll be going to church, but the church is going to his wheelbarrow Christianity. He's now being pushed. Come to Bible study. Okay, I will come today. You'll come today. What of Sunday school? Okay, pastor. I will come to Sunday school. That's wheelbarrow Christianity. There's no more life in it. And such things don't benefit anybody at all. If you come to any church, you'll find circles. Let me tell you how churches. There are people at the periphery. There are people at the middle. There are people at the inside. Watch Jesus. He had people in the inside, periphery, outside, the crowd. It's always in any church. If you are teaching them, you know those who are inside. Because you see them self-motivated. They can't have enough. See those at the middle. Neither here or there. They see those outside who think that they go to church to do God a favor. They're all there. But you must move from that outside thing to where? Inside. That's why the Bible says, draw near to God. That's what it means. Come nearer. Stop being outside. Tap your neighbor and say, draw near to God. So, it is important that we don't have that weapon that the enemy uses all the time to wreck lives, ruin your prayer, confuse you. A lot of people are really so confused, but because they don't know, they feel ashamed to say it, but they know they are dealing with something they don't even know what to do again. They have no idea what to do again. Pashakam. Somebody gave a testimony here. He said, for a long time I was just, nobody knew what I was handling for a long time. Until I had a man, Wafo, and the wife give testimony. So that was the day my eyes opened. And I latched onto the word of God and instantly got my own miracle right away. But he said, all these years, nobody knew. Nobody knew. We'll come and laugh, nobody knew. So how do we transform our mind? The Bible said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We know we read this scripture all the time. The question is, how do I get it transformed now? We always say, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. But how? How? Because that's where the trouble. Yes. How? Because I must know how. I must know what. How do I transform my mind? Is this study the scripture? Do I read from Genesis to Revelation? How? What? It must be made clear to us so that we understand what we're doing. And let me say something. If you don't understand what I'm going to say now, you will miss Judaism and Christianity. You get confused. If you don't understand what I'm about to say, you will be a Pharisee Christian. You are going to miss Judaism and what? Christianity. You are going to bring old cloth and want to sew it to new cloth, and there will always be a rent. It can't join. It will never. You will be trying. You can never. And you always see this rent here and there. You are going to bring new wine and want to pour it into our wine school. And then Jesus said there's going to be confusion. I'm not kidding you. For many years as a Christian, I was mixing Judaism and Christianity. Because Judaism looks religious. I'm not kidding you. I didn't know the difference at all. So if you don't understand some of the things I'm going to teach tonight, you are going to be mixing these things up. You will be having a rain all the time. It will be rending. It is struggle. It is always struggle. There is always struggle. So the scripture says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and what? Now, if I want to renew my mind so that I will know, to prove is to have an experiential knowledge. Like David said, I'm not going with these weapons, I've not proved them. That's old King James English. To prove is to have, I've not experienced it. So for you to have an experiential knowledge of the will of God, is it not simple reasoning to understand that you have to, that truth of God is what you use to renew your what? Your mind. Because if you don't renew it with the truth, you are not going to know the perfect will of God. Let me say it again. If you don't renew your thinking to be conversant with the truth of God, for that word is truth. If you don't renew it with the truth of God, you are not going to know the perfect will of God at all. You are going to come and renew your mind with the truth of the living God, because that's the perfect and acceptable what? Will of God. That's number one. So, what is the truth of God? Because the scripture says that we must have the truth in us first before we can talk of walking in it. We can have, must have it in us first so that it will renew us, renew our thinking, so our decisions will be in accordance with the truth of God that we have. What is the truth of God? Jesus said, if you continue in the truth, then you shall know it. Is that what he said? Come on now. Is that what Jesus said? If you continue what? He didn't say you know the truth instantly. He said, if you continue, which means if there is a pressing, consistent pursuit to know it. If you continue, if there is a pressing, persistent desire, not a hiccupic something, persistent, continuous, to know the truth, if you continue, then you will now know the truth. And when you know the truth will begin to what? Walk in your life. But there is continuous. He said, if you continue, if it's a condition. And when Jesus said that, that's exactly the way it is. So if you don't have a continuous desire going after the truth, wanting to know this truth, then you are not going to know it, because the if is the condition that will make you know it. Am I still correct? So he says, if you continue. So if I don't continue, what will happen? I will know it. But do I really know what I'm supposed to be after? Come. Do I really know what I'm supposed to be after? Continue. Is it him? Is it him? Is it this one? Is it this one? If I don't know which one I'm supposed to pursue, what happens? Confusion. I must understand that this is the person that I'm supposed to what? Pursue. And then I can now leave this one. Hello. Thank you. You know, Mary, Jesus said about Mary. He said, Mary had chosen the only one thing that is what? What did she choose? She chose to sit at the feet of the truth himself. He sat at the feet of the truth, what? Himself. The one that brought us the truth himself. Jesus said, that's the only thing important in life. He said he chose the only thing needful. The only thing needful to be spiritually minded, to sit at the feet of the truth itself and to hear the truth from the truth himself. Somebody shout hallelujah. He said, what this woman chose is the only thing needful. And listen to what Jesus said. No man, no what? No man shall be able to take it from her. Because when she knows the truth, the truth comes into her life. The activity of the truth will keep her free from whatever you are doing, wherever you are doing it. You can't take it away from her. When I hear that kind of statement, I'm going to ask the Lord, Lord, I need to know what she knew. I need to pursue what she pursued. Praise the Lord. So she chose to sit at the feet of the truth himself, to hear the truth himself. And Jesus said, of all things in this world, this is one thing that is what? Needful. If you don't know the truth, you are going to be carnally minded, and the devil will use that carnal mindedness to destroy you. And not only the devil, you are going to act like the prodigal son, make decisions that are totally stupid. Somebody called me sometime long distance. I was talking with him about an issue. Believe you me, I was asking myself, is he normal? Because he was quoting Bible and telling me exactly the things that would destroy his life. I'm not kidding. I sat there and said to myself, Bible is true. To be carnally minded is really dangerous. He was sure. He was so persuaded. He was very certain. But what he was doing will lead him to destruction. I'm not kidding you. And I asked him a couple of questions. He didn't even understand. What I said, really, carnal minded people don't understand stuff. He said, I want to come. I said, no, don't come. Stay in that state where you are. Because the same problem will stay persisting. Stay where you are. John 1:17. We are going to define the truth that you must know, that will renew your mind. If that is what we achieve this night, we have achieved a lot. Amen? John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses. Church, mark the first statement the Holy Spirit put there. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That is a marked distinction there. The ministry of Moses was differentiated from the New Testament ministry of who? Jesus Christ. Church, listen to me. The ministry of Moses is not what Jesus came to do. Oh, some people quote scripture and say, Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law. Of course. What does he mean by that? What he means by that, he came to fulfill everything the Lord demanded. He fulfilled it on our behalf. And when he fulfilled it, the law stopped being the means of righteousness. Faith in Christ became the means of what? Righteousness. Because he was operating under the law. He hadn't died. That was why he was doing all the ceremony. They did 8 years presentation, 8 days for him. I will go for this. Everything in this temple he will follow and do. Because the New Testament has not what? Started. He fulfilled the demands of the law. That's why he, by right, the blessings of God belong to him by achievement too. So he brought us the truth. He brought us grace. Somebody say truth and grace. Say it louder. Truth and grace. I said one more time. Truth and grace. What is the difference between the laws of Moses and the ministry of Moses and the truth and grace that Jesus brought? The ministry of Moses was based on the laws that God gave Moses to guide the people of Israel. When Jesus came, he left the law alone and brought truth and brought grace. And it is the message of truth and grace he handed to the church. So what is this truth? If I call you now to define the truth, what is it? Listen to me. The truth is the work of grace that God did in Christ and that the Holy Spirit is continuing to do in the body of Christ. Let me repeat it again. Because what Jesus brought us is a fulfillment of what God promised And this fulfillment of what God promised was performed by God Himself. The truth is statements of facts. That's why it's truth. The promise is already fulfilled. These are statements of facts, statements of truth. Solidly fulfilled. Solid facts that God has fulfilled, God has done, God has established in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the truth. And the basis for doing that is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not the same as the ministry of Moses. As a matter of fact, God brought the ministry of Moses to an end. Replaced it. So, instead of being guided by the law among Israel, we are now being led by the Spirit of the Holy God. For as many as are led by what? They are. Here, they were not, but we are the sons of God. And I want to show you marked difference between the Old Testament ministry of Moses and the New Testament message of grace, which you must focus on to renew your mind with it. That's the message Jesus gave the church. That's what the apostles preached. If you don't renew your mind with the work of the cross, with the work of God on the cross, and with what the Holy Spirit is interpreting for you and guiding your life, you will be carnal. I can't help you. There's no other way. You have to do that. Because you have to continue in that truth that Jesus brought. Okay, let me show something. 2 Corinthians 3, 7 to 12. Let's differentiate this thing so you understand exactly where I'm headed. Are you following me up to here? Okay. But 2 Corinthians 3, 7 to what? 12. Let me read New Living Translation. The old way with laws etched in stone. Short, let's read. Etched what? What led to where? Oh, you are not listening. Come on. The old way with laws etched in stone. The laws of Moses. Where did he lead? To death. But when Jesus came, what did Jesus say? I've come that you have life. And have it what? I want you to begin to see the difference now. You can't renew your mind with these things that lead to death. You will be carnal. You don't have life there. Though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face, for his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. Continue, verse 8. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way? Now that the Holy Spirit is giving what? You remember what he said? He said the old way of Moses led to what? Death. But in the new way of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the work of God, the work of God. Church, it's not your work. It's not what you are doing. It's what the Spirit of God is what? Doing. What God is doing. In the time of Moses, it was given to men to do. And the Bible said because of the weakness of their flesh, they could not perform. But in this side, that's the power of the Holy Spirit at work. And the Bible said, this one now, the Holy Spirit is giving life. Are you following me? What are we? If the old way quit brings condemnation, did you see what it brings? The old way brings what? But what does the new way bring? Justification. The old way brings what? But in Christ, we are justified. Am I right? The old way brings what? But the truth declares to you the way that God justifies you by faith in the works of grace, the works of God done by the grace. Are you following what I'm saying here? So the old way brings condemnation. It was glorious. How much more glorious is the new way, which makes us what? Right. You see how the Spirit of God is showing us the ministry of Moses and the ministry of Jesus, which is the truth. Which is the truth. Which is the truth. Okay, let's continue. In fact, the first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. Verse 11. So if the old way, which, can we read 11 together? Whoa, stop there. The old way, which what? Why did God replace it? It leads to death, brings condemnation, does not give life. You cannot renew your mind with that junk. You can't. If you don't know the difference, you will bring this, and try to mix it, you will be confused. I told you, if you don't understand what I'm saying this night, I can't help you, I'm telling you. Because if you really get it clear and know what the truth is, and you know what you are pursuing to know, you now know this is what I should pursue to know. The way that gives life, the way that brings justification, the way that empowers me, that's what I should pursue to know. Because if I know that truth, then that truth will begin to set me free, change my life, change my thinking, change where I live without effort. Because those are the things that God has completed, which I just come to walk in them, accept them, believe them, and they begin to work for me. How did you get saved? You simply believed in what Jesus did, and salvation became your portion. Come on, church. Can I hear amen? Amen. So, what verse is that? So, if the old way, which has been what? Was glorious. How much glorious is the new way? Which remains forever. That's the truth that Jesus brought us about the new way that he came to establish. The way that leads to life. The way that brings justification. The way that brings righteousness. The way that brings the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The way that brings enlightenment. The light. Jesus, the light of the world. So you are no more acting in darkness. One more verse there. What verse did we read now? Let's read 12. Since this new way gives us such what? Confidence. We can be very bold. See, it gives you confidence. Confidence in prayer. Confidence in walking with the Spirit of God. Confidence as a Christian. Then you can be bold. For the righteous is as bold as what? You can't be timid. And I'm not talking of being cantankerous. You know what cantankerous means? Quarrelsome. That's not being bold. In this new distance, you are so peaceful because the love of God constrains you. Praise the Lord. And then, you know, it tells us that the law builds partitions. The law built what? Partitions. Because the law was given to Jews only. You remember what Peter said to Cornelius? He said, you know the law does not allow us to what? Come into your house and to eat with you. The law built partition. And said, you Jews, don't you cross over here. Don't even marry their daughters. Is that correct? But you know the new way brought reconciliation. You must know what the truth is about. If you are dwelling on Moses, you'll be building partition. Partition. Me and my small group. You think you are holier than others. You are being led by that spirit. So you are building partition. Partition. If he doesn't come to our church, it's not a Christian. Partition. But when you come into Christ, that liberty, you will embrace people who are in Christ. Because there is a spirit of reconciliation right there. And then if you are operating by Moses, you will be finding fault in people, building partition. That's what you'll be doing. You will find every fault he did. Didn't do this one right. Should have done it like that. Because your first name is Moses, second name is Moses, your last name is also what? Moses. You build partition. Anywhere you go, you'll be a partition builder. Anywhere. I don't care. If you're at job, you're building partition. Because you see this person. Does he think he's the only one in this office? Even the way he's behaving himself. I don't even like the way he's behaving. He won't talk to me like that. Then as soon as you have opportunity during break, you go gossip master. Say, is he that person? She thinks she owns this office. You know why? You are a kind of person. Your mind has not been renewed with the spirit of reconciliation. Because once it's renewed with that spirit of reconciliation, you will love that person. And love does not keep a record of what? You will see no wrong. You see no wrong. And peace with it. That's why the Bible says that the spirit, to be spiritual mindedness is peace. Not because they are perfect, but because the love of God constrains you. Are you following what I'm saying? You see how it changes your life? Ephesians 2, 4, 14 to 15. Ephesians 2, 14 to what? For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united, see? He united what? Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. Verse 15. He did this by ending the system. Come on now. He ended what? Have we read something like this before? That God brought it to an end because it causes partition. He says, by removing the system of law with its commandments and regulations, he made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. That's why the ministry of Jesus is the ministry of reconciliation. Wherever you walk in the truth, when the truth of God is guiding your heart and thinking, you will always be a bridge builder. You are not going to be a bridge destroyer. Anywhere you are, you will be a what? I didn't hear. This side, you don't understand English. Anywhere you are, you'll be a what? You didn't hear me too well. Anywhere you are, you'll be what? Be a bridge builder. Because it, the ministry you have is a ministry of reconciliation. You don't have time for the talk. Hey, you do this, I do that. Touch me, I touch. If you kick me, I kick. Do me, I do you. God no go vex. Touch me, I touch. That's carnality. Extreme carnality. That's not spirit of reconciliation at all. Can I hear amen? Amen. It's not spirit of reconciliation. Sam did. And when you mix up this Moses thing and all this thing, you always think you are too good. Because you always judge yourself. Oh, and then you find everybody has a fault except you. So the ministry of Moses is a ministry that separates. But the ministry of Jesus, the truth that Jesus brought to us, is that he came to reconcile everybody and make us one in Christ. Whether Jew, Gentiles, or what? Or whatever. Do you know that when Jesus was there, they were quarreling a lot, right? Right? But when he died, he collected them in one room, locked the door, threw away the key. Nobody, they couldn't go. They were out there, 120 of them. Before, when he was there, they were so carnally minded. But he collected them in one room. They were now praying. They were forced to love one another. And the Bible said they became one mind. And because of that, the Spirit came. I want you to watch, read the Bible. Find, wherever you find the spirit of reconciliation, wherever you find unity, you find the maximum performance of the Spirit of God. From the Old Testament to the New. The Bible said in the Old Testament, when the singers became like what? One. The cloud of God came down. And then the New Testament, they became one. Then the glory of God came down. And then you go further down in Acts chapter 4, when they prayed, the Bible said they became also what? United, one. And then the place shook up. You are not getting what I'm saying. Are you following what I'm saying? That's the difference between religion and what Christ came to establish. Religion will make you think you know what you are doing. You are holier than anybody. I got it right. The other one is no. He said, I want to serve you. I'm sorry, forgive me. He's always seeking for peace. He is always. Because the spirit that propels him is the spirit of humility. He's the one that has made himself of no reputation. It's not a religious spirit at all. Is anybody following me? Yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And because the law is what we are supposed to do, But because of the weakness of the flesh, we couldn't do that. The Bible said that the law made nothing perfect. That it is this new system that Jesus brought, which is the work of God, that he worked for you in Christ Jesus. Because of that work he worked for you in Christ Jesus, that thing is what can now bring you to a place of perfection. For except the law builds, so what is the truth? This side, what is the truth? No expo. Don't look at your book. What is the truth? Going, gone. If you know it, lift up your hand and defend your group before I take it to this one. Let's hear you. What is the truth? For us. Okay, so that is the statement of truth. That's the truth. Okay, so all we need to do is to come and what? Embrace it. And if we believe in it, once we believe in it, it begins to work in our lives physically. That the reality of that begins to show because we have accepted it as true. That's why when we believed in the Lord Jesus, that he died for our sins, salvation became a reality in our lives. When you believe in the righteousness that Christ gives, righteousness becomes a reality also, what? In your life. When you believe in the freedom that Christ brought you, then you believe that sin doesn't have control over you. Because as a man thinketh, so he will be. Then sin will not have control over you. Because anything you fear will control you. But God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear. But of love? Power and what? You think it's sound mind to find fault with people? So what is the truth this side? Statement of fact. What Jesus did what? On the cross. So what's the difference between the truth and the law? What men do. And the Bible said because of the weakness of the flesh, they could not do that. And God brought it to an end. And sweet us now to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We are living in the age of the ministry of power. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why the Bible said, he's the one that worketh what? In us, to will and to do of his good pleasure. And now we are led by him. For as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. Yeah, you are doing very well. Wonderful. Ah, this is as fast as I didn't know we'll get this faster. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. So let's see what Paul preached. That he wanted people to believe, to renew. We are talking about renewing our mind. You can't renew your mind when you take your mind out of Jesus. It's in Christ you live. You must know the truth that is only in Christ Jesus. The truth is found only in Christ Jesus. The wisdom of God is found only in Christ Jesus. You can't have the truth outside of Jesus. You have to know him. You have to know what God did for you. You have to embrace it. You can't live outside the benefit of the cross. It's not possible. It is not possible. Jesus said, without me, you can do. Let's stop trying to do. We have put the cross somewhere, put the grace of God somewhere, and we embrace all this, must do this and do this, and the church is powerless and weak. No boldness, no confidence, the slightest thing, brakata, brakata, brakata. See what Paul said in Acts 20:24. Acts 20:24, New Living Translation. But my life is, let's read it together. Everybody, let's go. One, two, go. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. What is the work? The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. He said, my life is worth nothing unless I engage in passing across to the church and to people the good news of the gospel, the truth that Jesus brought us. The gospel, the power of God, where God was using his power to do things that man could not do for himself. He said, my life is useless unless I tell this thing. Another translation says, a necessity is what? Laid up. He said, woe is me if I preach not this gospel of grace. Why? Because that's the power of God unto salvation to those that believe it. Amen? And you know Paul called it in verse 25, the next verse, Acts 20:25. And now I know that none of you to whom I have preached the kingdom will ever see me again. He called it preaching the kingdom. Did you see that? And now I know that none of you to whom I have preached what? The kingdom will ever see me again. Why did he call it preaching the kingdom? Does anybody know? He said, I preach the kingdom. But he said, I preach the grace of God. So how is it the message of grace, the message of the kingdom? How is it that is the message of the kingdom? How? If you know, let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. You don't know, right? Hebrews 4:16. Very simple answer here. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of what? Grace. What did they call the throne of God? Come on, what did they call the throne of God? So if I'm preaching the kingdom, is it not the word of grace that I'm preaching? So the throne of God, if I'm preaching about the kingdom of God, I must preach about the grace of God, because the throne of God, the kingdom of God, the throne of it is a throne of grace. If you don't preach grace, you have not preached about the throne. You are not preaching about the kingdom. It's a throne of grace. You can't preach. I say I'm preaching the kingdom of God. But God said, yeah, my kingdom is a kingdom of grace. And you have not preached about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The works of grace. If you have not preached the works of grace, you have not preached the kingdom of God. That's why Paul said, I preach to you the king grace. And that's the kingdom I brought you. I brought you the throne of grace, where grace is flowing because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point here? How many of you get what I'm saying? Come on, let me see your hand if you get me. Put it down. Because you see, what I'm teaching you is new to many of you. Tell me if I'm not telling you. Right? I said to God, I said, Lord, you know, last Thursday I was swimming up. He said, go back, teach that thing again. He said, I want you to teach it again. He said, how might? Because if they get it, they will get out of that thing and fly like it. He said to me, go back, teach it again. He said, many of them are struggling with it. He said, you struggle with it too. Until I opened your eyes. I once heard somebody preach. He said, prison door is open, get out. I didn't know what he was talking about. I said, I'm not in prison. It was years before I said, whoa, that's true, that's the gospel. So the throne of God is the throne of grace. Let's finish reading Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and will find grace to help us when we need it most. King James Version said, let us come boldly to the throne of, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of what? Grace. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time. Is it not grace that Jesus brought us to help us? In time of need, we were lost. And it is the grace of God that helped us out. It's the mercy of God that we are not consumed. The truth is about the work of grace that God did in your life and that the Holy Spirit is still doing. If you don't know it, you walk in carnality. You will be very carnal until you come to know Christ crucified. That's the preaching of the kingdom. Can I hear amen? That's the preaching of what? Paul said, I preach the kingdom to you. What kingdom? The kingdom of grace. He said, woe is me if I don't preach this gospel of grace. Because that's the kingdom of God at work. That's the power of God at work. That's the wisdom of God unleashed on the earth. That is superior wisdom. That's the power. That's the power. That's the power. That's the kingdom of God unleashing his power on earth. Jesus said the kingdom of God is what? Right here. The power of God is here to do things mankind has never seen before. And it was accomplished on the cross. Does the church understand that? that is the revelation of the kingdom of God, a kingdom of grace. Can you say it with me? The kingdom of God is a kingdom of grace. The throne of God is a throne of grace. The message of grace is the message of the kingdom. Because it is through the grace, come on, it is through the grace that we are saved and continue to be saved and continue to be saved. Somebody say amen. So we cannot afford to neglect the message of the grace. Because that's the message, that's where you see the kingdom of God at work. See the power of God. He said it's the power of God. Man, you need to, that's why Jesus said Mary had chosen the only thing important. He had chosen to hear the truth. It's the message of grace. My message of grace I brought to you. He said to them, I'm the resurrection. He said, if you believe in me, though you die, you shall what? Rise again. He was bringing them this thing. He was bringing them, he said, I'm the light of the world. He was bringing them this thing. And Mary sat down there and said, wow, this is amazing. This is, and Mary, and Martha was busy all over the place, cooking jollof rice, cooking. And a lot of Christians are like that. You tell them you need to know Christ, they think it's an optional son. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Acts 13:38. Brothers, listen. We are here to proclaim that through this man Jesus, there is forgiveness for your sins. Everyone who believes in him is declared right with God, something the law of Moses could never do. 40, be careful now. Don't let the prophet's words apply to you. For they said, look, you mockers, be amazed and you'll die now. For I'm doing something in your own day. This is the work of God. God is doing in your own day something you wouldn't believe even if someone told you about it. God says, if you're not going to believe this thing that I'm doing in your own days, you are going to destroy yourself. Praise the Lord. So Paul continued to preach. Colossians 2:11. Okay, let me run quickly because Romans 6:5. Since we have, okay, I won't rush it. Lord, I'll go back. Yep, so go back. He said, don't rush this. Go back to where I told you. Colossians 2:11. He said, don't rush it. Why you stop, stop. Let us continue. Don't rush it at all. Colossians 2:11. Paul's preaching continues here. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision. The cutting away of your what? Believe it! And you see it work for you. As simple as it's not what you do. It's the work of grace that God accomplished on your behalf. That's what Paul is preaching to the whole world. He said, woe is me if I don't tell them this thing. I need to tell them that when they came to Christ, that the body of sin was what? Cut away from them. And if the body of sin is cut away from them, then sin shall no more. They don't know it. When the Corinthian church was in sin, Paul wrote them, he said, so you people don't know that you are the temple of what? Say your problem is your ignorance of the gospel. What God has done, what privilege God has given you, you don't know it. You say you carry Jesus and go to harlot, so you have no idea what you're doing. And the Bible says, my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. When you cheat people because of money, you are so carnal. You're really so carnal. So he says, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed the spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you are baptized, and with him you were raised to a new life. Because you trusted, church, you trusted, come on, church, you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. I told you, this is the kingdom of God at work. The mighty power of God cut away your sin and made you a new creature. And the Bible said, Paul said, woe is me if I don't tell the church this thing. Because when they know it, they believe it, they experience it. Praise the Lord. So let's go down to Romans 6:5. I have 7 more minutes. Am I communicating anything? Romans 6:5. Since we have been united with him in death, watch him talk about this new life. Every time he's talking about this new life he received. Every time this man is talking, he's referring to this new life. What happened on the cross? I received a new life. In that place, my old nature was taken away. In that place, I became something new. He keeps repeating it to the church. And when he came to his life, he was giving the testimony too. So, in Romans 6:5, since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know, you see, he started again. We know that our old sinful self was what? Crucified with Christ. Do you know that now? Does it guide your thinking? Or do you read it mentally? Does it guide? Do you believe it with your heart? He said, we know. He's always talking about it. We know. We know that our old sinful self, we are crucified with Christ, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves. Did you see what that man is telling the church? Keeps repeating it everywhere. 7. For when we die with Christ, we are set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead. So in verse 11, let's read verse 11 together, everybody. So you should... am I the only one? Am I everybody? Everybody, let's read. So you also should what? Consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through... Question is, do you consider yourself to be dead to sin? Do you? Is it a serious factor of life to you? Is that truth guiding your thought? Or is it a mere word they talk? And you turn around and say, hey, a Christian should not do this. No. That's not what we... That's not what made you dead to sin. It's what God did on the cross. That's where the problem of sin was what? Solved once and for all. Do you consider yourself dead to sin? Does it rule your thinking? Do you know this truth? Is it not this truth that if you know it, then the truth will now set you free? Do you know this? Does it really occupy your mind that you are dead to sin? Can you really say it effectively that I'm dead to sin? Sin does not control me. Are you going around saying, well, you know, I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with that? Let's read this testimony and I'll finish for today. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2 what? See his testimony. I am crucified with who? Christ. King James Version. This is his testimony. I am crucified with... I'm Galatians 2:20. Not 2:2. 2:20. Yeah. I am crucified with what? What does he mean by crucified with Christ? He's been telling the church that when Christ died, when you came, you were crucified too. And that your old nature has been what? Destroyed. Now he's testifying about himself. He says, I am crucified with what? Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. What is he saying? He said, let's see. He said, yes, I'm crucified with Christ, though I am living. Meaning, I'm a new creature now. Because my old sinful nature has been crucified on the cross. Did you hear his testimony? Did you hear that testimony? What does it mean I'm crucified with Christ? From what he wrote to all the churches, he's preaching to them. When he said I'm crucified, he said, I too, my old nature has been what? Crucified there. And even though I'm alive, I've risen in newness of life. You see the truth that is guiding his thinking? You shall know the what? That's the truth that Jesus brought us, that the Holy Spirit is witnessing to the church. Then he said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. But what? Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of who? Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So he said, my old nature is gone. He says, Christ lives in me, Therefore, I live by simply relying on him who works in me to will and to do his good pleasure. And number three, he said, I do not set aside the works of grace. That is verse 21. Let's read verse 21. I do not what? What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? Talk to me now. Oh yeah, talk to me, it's your turn. I do not what? Frustrate. What does that mean? King James said, I do not set aside. What does that mean, Uche? Huh? How? By ignoring it. To set aside something is to what? Push it by the side. Ignore it. He said, I don't set it aside. I don't ignore it. Because that's the message of the throne of God. That's the message I was preaching to the church about the grace, about what God did through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I can't live by setting it what? Aside. I cannot. Because if I set it aside, I set aside the kingdom of God, set aside the power of God, set aside the wisdom of God. And the only wisdom remaining now is the wisdom of a man. And I become carnal. He said, I don't set it aside. But I want to dare say, my brothers and sisters, we set aside the grace a long time. And we're paying great price for it. It's time to focus on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. There you will see the power of God at work. There you will be able to testify, I'm crucified with who? Christ. I live, but not I. But Christ lives where? The life I now live, I live by faith. Praise the Lord. You know, I was telling my wife, who came here on Monday praying, I said to my wife, I said, the Lord is showing me something that I've never seen before. That the main problem that church has, and when I mean church, I don't mean Orange Force, I mean the body of Christ, is that we don't believe in Jesus. I was shocked. The Lord said to me, say, the problem people have is you don't believe that I exist, sir. He said, I walk with you. You are peanut faith. I walk with it. He said, many Christians don't believe that Jesus is real. And then he reminded me something. He said, T.L. Osborne was a preacher. How many of you read about him? Many of you don't. He preached the gospel all over the world, right? For many years, listen, I was telling Pastor this story. Listen to this story. See if what God was telling me is not true. For many years, he was preaching the gospel. And when you get so zealous that you can leave, sell up everything you have, pack everything and go to India to preach the gospel, you must be very, very zealous, right? He did it. He went to India. And he told them that the Quran is not the word of God, that the Bible is. So the Muslims said, okay, prove it to us. He said, what did he say? He said, prove to us now. He didn't know what to do. So he came back, went into the room, locked the door, and began to cry. He said, Lord, I failed. I failed. They asked me to prove that Quran is not your word. I couldn't prove it. He said, I didn't win one soul. He said, I was such a miserable failure. And the man started to cry for days. Listen to this. This will shock you, but it's true. While he was doing that, the Lord Jesus walked into that room and stood before him. Guess what he said? Hey, Jesus is real! Jesus turned around and walked away. What was his problem? He was preaching Christ he didn't believe in. That's it. All that the Lord did was walking. Stood before him. See, he's real! Then the Lord walked away. Then he now packed his things, went back to India, and won almost half of India. His faith came alive. Brethren, I'm telling you, Alana, the Lord told me, he said, many Christians don't believe that Jesus is real. He said, they struggle with it. And he said to me, what did I say in the book of Hebrews? He that cometh to me must first believe that I'm real. He said, many don't. He said, because of that, my word does not have impact in their life. He said, I'm going to keep preaching what they're preaching. He said, because they don't believe that Jesus is real, He said, my words, they take it as religious talk. And I said to the Lord, okay, so how do we? He said, because the church is not in pursuit of knowing my son. He said, if you are in pursuit of knowing my son, to know the truth, he said, the Spirit of God will make him real to you. He said, that's why he came. He said, we're not in pursuit of that. He said, the church has become problem-solving oriented. All they focus on is solving what? Problem. They are not focusing on knowing Jesus. He said, all they do is, everything is about how to solve your problem, how to get healed, how to do this, how to do this one. There is no focus in knowing Christ, knowing the truth that is in him. He said, because of that, is it not if you seek, you find? Nobody is seeking, nobody is finding. Did you get what I said? And he told me, he said, do you know that when you know my son, if he comes real to you, all your problems will dissolve like butter. They will all dissolve because then you'll be strong. Then you'll be bold. Is it not what we read here? Then you'll be confident. Then your faith will come around and the thing will just like. Do you know why when God heals, and we said, there was a blind man that God healed, the whole church go, whoa! We don't know God. Paul asked a simple question. He said, is it a big thing for God to raise what? The dead. To Paul, it's normal for God to do that. It's just like a big man gave you 1,000. It's not news now. I mean, if I give you 1,000, it shouldn't be news. My friend, stop laughing at me. Why should it be news? But if Bill Gates gave you 1,000, then you, this man has 1,000 to give me. Whoa! It's because you don't know Bill Gates. If you know him, you know he has a lot of it. We don't know God. We don't know the power of Jesus. That's why we talk of Satan. If we know the power of Jesus, things will crumble. You see them crumbling like that. Because your faith will be working all the time. You, believe you me, a lot of things you pray for, you won't be praying about them. You speak the word of God. It's because we don't know Christ. Our faith is low. And we walk in this, you know, religious thing. So sometimes because we're frustrated, we're looking for answers, we bring Judaism. Say, maybe God is not doing it because I'm not good enough. So we bring Judaism, mix it with this one. More confusion comes. And then we have people who tell you 7 steps to this, 20 steps to this. Forget about it. It's in knowing the Son. Those that trust in him, they will never be put what? Never. It will never happen. It's as simple as ABC. What I'm urging you people tonight, let's refocus. Because I said, is it this man I will seek? Or is it this man I'll seek? Now we know who to seek. Who do we seek? Jesus. To know Christ and him crucified. You see the power of God demonstrated. The cross doesn't mean much to a lot of Christians. But Paul said, it is by this cross that I was dead to the world. I will read more of his testimonies. You will see that his focus was on the cross of Jesus. And everything that Jesus did there on the cross, he embraced all of it from the beginning to the end. And the man was flying in power. Flying in power. Man, that man was flying in power. Talk of power. The man was flying in the glory, in the grace of God. He said to us, you have received the abundance of this grace. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He preached all night. All night, somebody fell from the 3 floors. He went down. He didn't pray. Read that thing, he didn't pray. He just went down and took him. He just took him. The man came back to life. Took him back and continued the sermon 10 months. If you are such a savage, you won't sleep again. Not when you see the day rest. That's what the grace of God does. Praise the Lord. Let's renew our mind with the truth about what God did on the cross. How he took you, cut away the body of sin. Nobody could do that. And made you a new creature. Put his spirit in you and looked at you and said, you are no more a slave. You are now a son of God. Can you testify and say, yes! I'm not what I used to be. Because I've been crucified with what? Christ. The body of sin is gone, and sin shall no more. Is it not when you start embracing it and believing it, you will see the power of sin? Let's rise up.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.